morning. Good to see some faces that are visiting with us. We're so delighted to have you in our study. Encourage you to get your Bible that you may study with us. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and upon that confession, be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins and be added to the family of God. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the Old Testament, back to the book of Exodus and the third chapter. And when you come to the book of Exodus and the third chapter, I want to read with you the first five verses for the thought of our study. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire, from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. For just a few moments of our time, I'd like for us to go back and think about Moses for just a moment. We read in the book where Moses was chosen to be the man that would lead the people of God out of Egyptian captivity. He was to liberate them from a nation that had made them slaves. And he was also the man that God had chosen to reveal the law unto the people at that particular time, in that particular dispensation. And he was well prepared for the work. He was brought up in Pharaoh's house, so no doubt he was an educated man. But you remember that he killed the Egyptian and he fled into the wilderness. And for 40 years, Moses was out tending sheep. And it's at that time Moses probably became most equipped to lead the people out of Egypt into the land of promise. But at this time, I want you to take note that God, in verse 5, speaks to Moses. And notice the statement that is made in verse 5 very carefully. When he says, Do not draw near this place, take your sandals off. He says, in other words, take off your shoes, because where you stand is holy ground. You know, my friend, that is a very interesting statement. He was standing in the presence of God, and the ground on which Moses was standing was no different than any other ground, except for the fact God was there. And since he was in the presence of God, he knew God was there, and he called him by name. God was speaking to Moses. And can you imagine how that man felt when he heard the voice of God? You know, in Scripture, his voice is often described as the sound of rushing water. But can you imagine when Moses looked upon that bush, and that bush was not consumed, but continued to burn? And here is a man who is in reverence to God. Notice in your Bible, in the book of Exodus and the third chapter, that in verse 6, that the Bible says Moses, in the latter part, hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. That reminds me of what was said in Isaiah 6, when Isaiah had that vision of God in heaven, and he said, Woe is me. Anytime someone gets a glimpse of the glory of God, they become an individual that reverences God, and they see their own sinfulness, and they hide their face, and they reverence God. But then if you take your Bible, have you ever stopped to wonder, why did God appear to Moses in a burning bush? Surely he could have called Moses in some other manner. But that takes us back to the book of Isaiah and the 55th chapter and verse 8, where it says, God's ways are not our ways. That God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and God's ways are not man's ways. And here God had used this bush, and God is there in the bush, and God says to Moses, You are standing on holy ground. I like that statement. He said, You are in my presence. You are on holy ground. Take off your shoes and show respect. You know, in the Middle East, the sandal or the bottom of the shoe is considered disrespectful. You won't see somebody show the bottom of their shoe. You remember when the Saddam Hussein, when they brought down that statue, what did they do? They took their sandals and they beat it because the bottom of the shoe shows disrespect. You remember one of the presidents was speaking. What did they do? They threw a shoe at him. That's showing a sign of disrespect. So here God is saying, take off your shoes and show respect. You are in the presence of the Almighty God. But do you realize this morning, today, we are standing on holy ground? You may say, now, preacher, I don't see any burning bush. But I want to tell you, my friend, there are several ways that this morning we stand on holy ground. First of all, when the Word of God is read, we stand on holy ground. When we read from the Word of God and speak this Word, we're standing on holy ground. This is the voice of God to man. Let us look at a moment at this time at the Word of God in the book of Nehemiah and the 8th chapter. And when you come to the book of Nehemiah and the 8th chapter, notice that the people had been in captivity. They come back to Jerusalem. And notice that in verse 5, the Bible says that Ezra is going to speak to the people. And notice it said, Ezra opened the book. Now, if you have your Bible, underscore that. And notice he did it in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, look at what the people did. All the people stood up. I want you to think about for just a moment in the book of Nehemiah that at this time they stood up when the Word of God was read. You know, when we go to a funeral, we often stand. Why do they stand? It shows respect for the deceased. Why did they stand when the Word of God was read? It showed respect for God's holy Word. But not only that, look in verse 6. And Ezra blessed the people, and Ezra blessed the Lord, their great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. I like that statement. They amen the reading of the Word of God. You know, I don't hear that much anymore. I remember one man one time came to me and he said, now, preacher, does it bother you when I amen you? I said, oh, no, brother, and don't let my other brethren rub off on you. Sometimes when the reading of the Word of God is read, it's good to say amen. It's good to say that's right. But I want you to think about something else. What is our attitude when the Word of God is being taught? Do we recognize that at this moment we stand on holy ground? At this moment, as the Word of God is being read, as we examine the divine revelation, as we look into what God has declared, we stand on holy ground. And I want to ask a question to you, my friend. Are you reverencing God at this moment? Is your mind upon the Almighty? Are you thinking about the great I Am? Do you see how wonderful of a God He is? And do we praise Him? And do we stand in His presence and realize we're on holy ground? But not only do we stand on holy ground when the Word of God is proclaimed, but my friend, we stand on holy ground when we pray. When we pray, we're going to the same God Moses and the people then approached. Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter and the 4th chapter. And when you come to the Hebrew letter and the 4th chapter, look, if you will, beginning at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Isn't that comforting? That here is Christ and He understands my weaknesses, He understands my struggle, and though He never sinned, He can sympathize with my temptations and my weakness. And because of that, look at what it said in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do we realize that when we pray, we are standing on holy ground? When Brother Reeves led us in that prayer just a few moments ago, do you recognize that we were before the throne of God? And as he prayed for the brethren that are sick, and the physical sick and the spiritual sick, did you not go along in the prayer and go, amen, that's right, we're praying for these people? Did you not realize we were standing on holy ground? We are coming before the throne of grace. We are coming before the throne of God. And we can do so with all boldness because of our high priest. And I'll tell you, any time I bow my head and I pray unto the God of heaven, I'm standing on holy ground. I need to be respectful. I need to be reverent. I need to understand the importance of it. Sometimes if we're not careful, we let our minds drift and we let our minds go everywhere. But I'll tell you, what we need to do is realize we're on holy ground when we pray to the God of heaven. But then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter. And when you come to the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter, have you ever thought that when we sing praises to God that we stand on holy ground? In Ephesians 5:19, he says we're to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, look at that last phrase, to the Lord. I am giving God glory. I'm on holy ground. As Brother Houchin led us in those songs, we were standing on holy ground as we offered up spiritual sacrifices to God. In the Colossian letter and the 3rd chapter, you remember in verse 16, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, I'll tell you, my friend, when we sing praises to God, we are standing on holy ground. Sometimes we do not realize the purpose of singing. Singing is to give God glory, to teach one another and admonish one another, yes, but also to give God honor and glory and praise. And when we sing, each one is standing on holy ground because God is listening to the fruit of our lips. Have you ever thought, my friend, how important it is to sing unto the God of heaven, to give Him praise and honor and glory? To give Him that which He so rightly deserves. And when we sing, we stand on holy ground. Moses, did you see where you were? He said, oh, I was on holy ground. And this morning, my friend, do you see where we are? As we teach the Word of God, as we pray, as we sing, we stand on holy ground. We are in reverence all to God. But that's something else. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we stand on holy ground. If you take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians 11, we realize when we gather around the table to keep in memory the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, we stand on holy ground. We are to partake of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner, considering what Jesus did for us. And we're to do so, as Paul said in verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. We are to consider what Jesus has done for us and the fact He's coming again. And we examine ourselves and we eat of the bread and we drink of the cup and we discern the Lord's body. And we do so on holy ground. Oh, I would I could get that into our hearts. That we stand on holy ground when we partake of the Lord's Supper. But this might shock you. But you know, when you give of your means, you stand on holy ground. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, he talks about upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by and store. And what we're doing is we're giving back to God. We're giving to the work so that God's work can continue. And we stand on holy ground. I sometimes wonder, what is our attitude? Do we recognize we stand on holy ground when we worship God? But that brings up another thought. We are holy ground. Open your Bible to the book of Acts in the 17th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts in the 17th chapter, notice that when the Apostle Paul is writing, that Paul is wanting them to know about the God of heaven. And when he talks about the God of heaven, notice that he tells them, in Him we move and have our very being. Notice that. In Him. If it wasn't for God, we would not have these things. Look at what He says beginning at verse 24. He says in verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. And He's made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him through He is not, though He's not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 27, it says, we are created in the image of God. We are to be holy ground. We are to be the temple of God. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, look at what he said in verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, my friend, we need to learn to reverence God. We need to learn to be close to God. And it's time for the people of God to realize we stand on holy ground. We reverence God. We respect God. We have a holy fear for God. And this morning, do you realize, as we worship, we stand on holy ground. We give Him honor, praise, and all that He so richly deserves. Question is, if you're not a child of God, have you ever thought what you're missing out on? Have you ever thought that you need to stand on holy ground and that you need to give God the praise and the glory and all that He so richly deserves? There's people I love who I wish I knew what to say to them to get them to see the need to be a child of God and come and stand on holy ground with brothers and sisters in Christ of like faith, who worship the King of kings and Lord of lords, the God of heaven, in spirit and truth. If you need to obey the gospel, our prayer is you'll come as together we stand and sing.